Woke up in the light of a sky unknown, lost in a land where legends are grown. The wind whispers secrets of destiny's vow. No turning back, it all starts now. Unseen, fate handed us keys to a war machine. Mountains will shake under each step we take. One wrong move, our home's at stake. Another
everyone, welcome to True Hero, our new show based using the Gates of Crystallis. It is an amazing TTRPG that is built around the, well, deck of cards, instead of using dice. So we're trying out a whole new system, thanks to the creators of Gates of Crystallis. They gave us over the content we needed to run this, and so we're going to be showing you, and hopefully you can learn how to play from it too, because we're all still somewhat learning here, so we're going to be making some mistakes and have to correct some things here and there. But let's go through the cast and kind of introduce the players before we introduce the characters. First up, we have Xander off to my left. He is he's one of our new people here. He will also eventually, hopefully, if he gets on it,
DM.
Will be one of the DMs on our channel soon to come. I believe you're doing a Kids on Bikes system?
Yes, I am going to do a Kids on Bikes game coming up soon, hopefully. Just looking for one more player, and then we'll get that started.
Awesome. And then, of course, we have the illustrious Sif, who is played by...
Hi, everybody.
Rapid, yeah. You know, the man turned wolf, turned back to man.
got my Sif shirt right here. Y'all Sif go shirt. Check it out.
Yeah, go get a... Go help us grow and tell more stories by helping us by buying merch and...
Get you know, merch.
Yeah, we're also going to be opening up a Patreon thanks to our wonderful Kelly. Down at the bottom there, she also plays Syphena, and she is always in one of our shows at least at some point. So, yep, she's doing an amazing work with our social media, and she's doing an amazing work with getting a Patreon out so that all of you guys can help us. And, Kelly, you want to tell us a little bit about what you got planned for the Patreon, maybe? Kind of get the word out a little bit?
Let's see if I remember, because I wasn't planning on talking about
it. Oh, yeah, I do this. I throw people into the deep end.
Yes, you do. Well, it's going to be lots of... There's going to be at least five chairs, different chairs that you can choose from. I can't remember everything that's offered, but I know one of them, you have the option to, you know, if you support us on tier, you get your name mentioned at the end of videos. Yeah. Another one, you get to make an NPC for the games. And I think one of the higher tiers is you have the opportunity to play with us in a one-shot. And those other things that are offered as well. So those are just some ideas of what we are going to be planning on offering.
I need people to join the tiers, that tier and up, so that I can have some assistance on some NPCs. Because everything is named Gavin or Frank or Larry. And so, Myth over here muted saying something. But speaking of Myth, it's Myth.
I said don't do it.
But Myth, who plays Warden in the Out of the Abyss, she plays Kane in Grand Quest, and she is our merch. So all of the wonderful things that we wear, that me and Rapid are wearing, and you know the hat here, is thanks to her working with our merch, the people we work with, you know, collaborate for merch, which is TTRPG Swag. They're amazing. And Myth, do we have anything in the works with them?
I'm actually talking to them about getting stickers, possibly like jacket patches and hat pins.
Oh, nice. I just need
to email me back.
Yep. And I think we have a new character coming out. Shookashack from Out of the Abyss is going to be on a shirt and hoodie. So that's awesome. We've almost got the whole cast of Out of the Abyss.
Almost.
And then,
we're just missing Layers now, right?
Yeah, Layers. And right below her is the illustrious player who plays Kazad and who plays Trevor, our knights in shining armor, Matt. Who is going a different turn in this game.
I'm Matt.
Yeah, I'm Matt. He's also been coined as our meme lord, our GIF daddy. And then we have another new face, which is my beautiful wife finally joining us. We have Celine at the bottom there. Say hi, Celine.
Hello.
She's a little bit coming off of some allergies, so her voice is a little bit hoarse, so... forgive her, but she's here.
I'm trying.
Yeah, she's the backbone behind me, so everything that we've got going on is also contributed to her. So if I didn't have her supporting me, then I don't know if we'd be it this far. But all right.
To be honest, we probably wouldn't.
It's honestly all thanks to...
invited me, yeah. So...
It's thanks to all of you guys 100% for, you know, pushing me to open up the channel, and Kelly for being the last straw that broke that camel's back of resistance, and, you know, so, and if I didn't have you wonderful players, I don't think we'd be able to run as many awesome shows, so, All right, let's get into it a little bit. So let's kind of just go through and, first of all, before we get into showing the characters before they get summoned away to another world, because yes, this is an isekai. Let's hear a bit about the characters and from the mouth of the players. So let's start back up with Xander or Valiander, who is playing Ruben.
So I'm going to play as Ruben. He is a Canadian cosplay influencer. He's still at college. A little self-absorbed, you know, kind of full of himself. And he lives with his roommate Charles in Toronto, Canada.
Nice. All right. Let's go to Rapid, who is playing Ashton.
Well, like Pat said, I'm playing Ashton Satoshi.
Does that just mean Ash?
I think so. I don't know what Satoshi means, but I know that's just, yeah. Whoever knows, I put it in the comments.
Yeah, let us know. But, does that just mean Ash?
I think so. But essentially, he is the son to Japanese immigrants. They moved to America. He's about 18 years old. They left around that time, and he works at Pizza Hut right now. Make money for rent.
Now,
other than that,
we are not sponsored by Pizza Hut, but we're not going to tell you.
But if you guys want to,
I would love for some free pizza in turn for some advertisement, man. I mean, I don't need to be paid. I just need pizza.
What I would do for stuffed bread.
Oh, I know. All right. And Kelly, can you tell us a little bit about Clara?
Clara is from a small town in Texas, large family, and she 1 year old. She is a therapist. So she's tired of talking to people. But yeah.
Everyone's got problems. I just don't need to hear about it. All right.
Yep, so that's all.
Awesome. Yep, Myth. Tell us about Rain.
One thing. Satoshi does not mean Ash. It means intelligent history.
Oh, so it's...
Sorry, I had to Google it.
Cool.
I'm glad someone did.
Yeah, because I remember, I think, isn't like the Japanese name for Ash Ketchum
yes, Satoshi? Yes, the Japanese name for Ash Ketchum is Satoshi.
Okay.
But, sorry.
It's all good.
Off topic
No, it's fine. You should just let the comments rage, but you know.
They would have figured it out for us.
Yeah.
I mean, they would have, but all right. But I have ADHD.
Let us take that ADHD and use it to tell us about Rain.
So I'm going to be playing Rain Logan. She is currently a petty officer first class in the Navy. She works as an EOD technician, which is explosive ordnance disposal technician, for those who don't know. She likes bombs. And she grew up in a military family. And I'm still figuring out her personality. I was thinking of playing something similar to Benny, and then I made her military, and I was like, well, that's not gonna work.
Yeah, so for all you viewers who don't know, Benny is Myth's reoccurring psycho character who would trade her mom for a stick of dynamite.
Yes.
All right. Well, Matt, tell us about Yoshi.
Yoshi is 25 years old. He is a bike courier in New York City, and he is the son of a Japanese legitimate businessman and the daughter of an Irish mob boss.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
I wonder how that worked out. Definitely no, like, under the table deals or anything happened there.
Well, two people yeah. love each other.
Legitimate business.
Quote unquote. All right. Well, Celine, tell us a bit about Nora.
Nora is 33.
Hold on. Something happened.
Oh, yeah, something did happen.
Okay. Oh, there we go. All right, go ahead. Okay. Yep.
Okay. Nora is a vet at an animal rescue and sanctuary.
Awesome.
And she's kind of shy. She doesn't get out a whole lot. She does like reading and painting.
Yeah.
And she just kind of lives by herself, keeps to herself, but is very sweet, just takes a little bit to approach people.
So very shy.
Loves animals very much, though.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's get into it, everyone. So, at the start of this, we're going to pan over as we, the viewers and the players who are watching this, kind of pan over to the far side of the continent that houses both America and, you know, South America and Canada, as we go deeper into Canada, finding a very lavish, uptight, very expensive private college school. It is one of the most prestigious schools in the area, and it brings out some of the greatest politicians, businessmen, and all sorts of very, like, top-end athletes and artists. And we see, going deeper within this school, we see Ruben. Ruben, I'm gonna give you the scene here.
Okay. I'm sitting at my desk, finishing writing up on a piece of paper, and the bell rings. Class is done for the day. I'm excited because there's a convention I'm going to go to later. Got, you know, an outfit of my favorite anime character ready. Got to go get dressed up for the day. So I pack up and get ready to leave school, leaving my classroom and walking into a beautiful open courtyard where there just seems to be a bunch of trees and students walking around, and I meet up with my friend Charles as we leave school for the day.
Hey, Ruben. You all done?
Yes, I'm done, Charles. Ready to go back?
You don't have any student president stuff things that you need to do?
Well, I have a thing to do tonight, so I told them no, I can't, but I think they understand.
Man, if I tried telling my club that I couldn't do something, I'd probably get kicked out. Kind of pays off to be the most loved student on all campus, right?
Yes, I guess. And I'm just gonna keep walking past, and I'm like waving to a few people as I walk by.
It kind of sucks being your friend, man. I mean, I thought I'd get some of that love too, just, you know, by being around you, but I'm not.
I mean, you can wave at them too, right?
I mean, but watch this. He waves the one, and they just kind of like look at him and turn away. See? I'm a piece of shit on the back end of a dog. No one wants to look at that, but they want to look at the dog.
Clive said we need to work on things here. Come to my house later at like, well, my room later, like 9
o'clock. Yeah, I was gonna say, don't we like live at the same place, man? It's your house now. I pay rent too.
Sorry, come to my room later and we'll figure something out. But things will work out. We'll find you some.
You're not gonna put me in another strange cosplay outfit.
It works. Promise. I promise.
The last time you did, you made me look like a Sailor Moon character.
Well, I mean,
you're the only one that looks pretty enough to pull that off, okay?
In right now, that's what all the ladies want, you know?
Oh, man, this culture. All right, fine. Fine. All right, well, who are you going as this year?
You know.
I think I'm going to go as Deku. He's short like me. Yeah, he's short like me. Yeah. It's easy.
You know, Sung Jin-woo's popular right now. I haven't seen Solo Leveling yet, but...
You haven't seen...
An
anime! An anime fan like you had... Oh, okay. Well, you know what? I'm done. Busy my ass as he starts walking faster.
No!
I'll see you at home, Mr. Anime fan! As you were, like, calling out to him, suddenly... A flash of light as this... almost elaborate like circle starts to glow beneath you. You've seen enough anime. That's a summoning circle, and as you're about to call out for help, it's boom,
Charles,
you're gone.
Okay,
and we move on to Ashton. I hand the scene to you.
Oh, don't you do this to me. Okay, so
I'll play your boss, it's okay.
Thank you. Okay. It's set in San Francisco. That's where he lives right now. You pan into a little Pizza Hut. You know, it's kind of busy, maybe lunch rush right now. It's his first day of work, you know. He got ready, brushed his teeth, made sure everything was spiffy and all that. He made his first pizza, and he has to deliver it, too. He had to go through it about 3 times, but this time it came out pretty good, you know. He's feeling pretty proud of himself as he pulls it out of the oven. Hey, boss, I'm almost done with this pizza. Just got to box it up. Is there anything else I need?
A pimply, very sweaty, redhead, short-haired, skinny person who's probably slightly, like, 16 years old, turns the corner and goes, yeah, it looks fine. Sorry. Just you're going to need to take it downtown. Did you bring a bike or a car?
I got an e-bike. I mean, I'm trying to save up for a car, you know. Give me a Camaro or something like that. They go pretty fast.
Yeah, real bad gas mileage. Like you know anything. The whole Teslas. Teslas are the thing now. You and your old muscle cars. Anyways, don't be late. I have a no tolerance.
No, of course.
Doesn't mean that you get away with things.
No, I would never think anything like that. Of course. Actually, what's the address again?
It's 673 Boulevard Drive.
Apartment. San Francisco's going to be like, why'd you give out my address?
Apartment 62. Yeah, it's a high rise. Hope you like 62? Stairs. I heard that they're in the notes it says the elevator's broken, so I hope you like stairs.
I mean, they're not going to let me keep my bike down. I mean, I can carry it. It's all right. You know?
Yeah. Have fun. It's like on the 6th floor.
Don't worry. I need this job.
Remember, 30 minutes or less. You better get going.
No, of course. And I'm going to start boxing it up, finishing it up, putting in the little red thing. And before he leaves, he is going to take his, you know, those little flip cook notebooks or whatever. Yeah. I don't know what they're called. Yeah, he's going to put that in his pocket and, you know, fix up his little thing. And I'm ready to go. And he steps out the door.
The boss kind of looks to some of the staff in the back. Yeah, that man ain't gonna last very long. All right, as you are beginning to put, you're pedaling through the town, you make it to this super tall, very like, it's got like a, it's got like the door guard, the doorman, and he like stops you. Pizza, obviously. What floor?
Sixth floor, exactly.
Room... what number? He flips through, like, a notebook.
Was it 26 or was it 62?
Don't remember.
It was 62.
Yeah. Well, okay, that does check out with what I was told, so he, like, buzzes.
But I feel like it's 26. I honestly forgot, too.
he buzzes. It's 62, you're right. He buzzes and lets you in. All right, you can't... you can leave your bike out here. No bikes inside.
You're going to watch it, though, right?
Sure.
Okay, just don't let nobody steal it. I'm still paying it off.
It's very high-end neighborhood here. I won't let anything happen like that.
I'll be right back. Don't worry.
Yep, hurry up. The elevator's broken. The stairs are on the left.
No, I got this. And I'm going to look at the building one more time as I go and step inside.
Yep, and you look up and it's just row after row after row of stairs.
You got this, employee of the month, employee of the year. You know, 30 minutes or less.
And you make your way up, and you have 3 minutes left, and you get to the last floor. You're right there. You're running up to the door. You hit the doorbell button, and then...
Ding dong!
The circle appears. A circle appears below you, glowing with a vibrant purple light, and then a flash.
What the... what?
And you're gone. We, the viewers, see the door open. Like a person in a business suit, kind of with kids in the background. He's tightening his tie. Stupid kids, that bellhop's gonna get a word from it. Where's that pizza boy? And then now we're gonna move over to Clara. Clara, I'm gonna hand the scene to you.
All right, well, it's lunchtime for Clara. She decided to leave her office and go to a nice little cafe nearby and just have some peace and quiet as she can. She sits down at a table by herself, parks her earbuds in, listens to music so she can drown out people talking, and she's just spending, you know, an hour there, just doing nothing but zoning out and ease.
A tap on your shoulder, a pretty rapid tap on your shoulder,
my earbud, huh?
It is one of your, the people you're supposed to talk to tomorrow, one of your patients, is there... Hi, Miss Clara. I saw you over here, and are you free?
No, I'm not free.
Oh.
Do you need to talk?
Yeah, I'm kind of struggling. I actually work here at this cafe, and I just got fired, and I'm having a really hard time processing it, and I don't want to relapse into anger. Like before, and I saw you, and well, I don't know if I go home, if I'm gonna. Well, the dark thoughts are telling me that to do something to the shop, and I really don't. I don't think that's smart. I don't think that's wise. But my brain is telling me that homemade bombs are really easy to make, and so. Uh-huh. It's he like pulls out the chair and sits down, and I don't think it's smart. It's not a smart idea, right? It's not.
It's not. Yeah, you don't need to go there. I really appreciate you talking about it because you know that's the first step. Mm-hmm. So you know it's okay. Do you remember the exercises I've given you for your anger? Because you have that.
Yeah, I can do my breathing. Do my calm pacing that allows me to work off the extra energy. I have at home. I did buy new more clay so I can do my pottery. I can get through this,
that's
right?
Good.
And that's when the former boss comes out and starts yelling at him to leave, and you can see the blood starting to boil. Even more, like this guy is starting to go, about to go into a rage, while the manager's yelling at him. He needs to leave. He needs to go. He's not allowed here. I'm gonna get you passed for trespassing. And he's just like boiling up and about to erupt.
Hey, I think I'm done. Hey, why don't we go outside real quick? Okay.
As he looks over to you, suddenly, the flash of light. The circle appears. And you disappear right before them. They don't see the light, but suddenly...
Oh, that's just...
And we see, like, this has just, like, caused him to just freak the fuck out. And he, like, busts his way out the front door and starts running for it. And so, yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's gonna... I should make sure I flip a card for, you know, the madness thing, because that's the bottom rest of my life.
Like, oh no, did he do something? All right, and okay. Now I'm gonna move over to Rain. Take it away, Myth.
Rain is sitting outside. It's a very sunny Florida day. She's outside on the Air Force base. She teaches. some of the EOD training, which is held at... Crap, how do I pronounce that? Eaglin?
Oh, man.
I'm from Florida. I feel like I should know this.
Matt.
It's Eglin.
Edwin?
Eglin.
Eglin?
Eglin.
Eglin.
Okay. Eglin Air Force Base in Fort Walton Beach, Florida. I don't know why I'm stuttering like that.
New show, who dis?
Yeah, new show, who dis? And she's just sitting outside enjoying the sun, grading some tests. Right. In a very irritated manner.
So, as you're sitting there grading tests, sitting outside, inside they've been practicing doing some... They had just finished up practicing deactivating a minor bomb. It's not, like, live or anything, but they were scheduled to do a live test. But while you were scheduled to do a live showing to show how it's done and how it's supposed to be done in real time. And so the bomb had been delivered. However, one of your students come rushing out saying, Mr. Logan, or Mrs. Logan, Miss Logan, what, we need you now. One of the other students, they thought that they could handle, and they were, kind of dared to, and, well, the bomb has been activated.
Oh my fucking god.
Right now, it's got a 10-minute timer.
Walk and talk.
Yeah. It's got a 10-minute timer. It's got 6 minutes left. It took a little bit to get to you, so we gotta really go. And you rush there. You make the decision. Do you put your bomb suit on, or do you break rule here and go in without one?
She's gonna break the rules and go in without them, because there's not enough time.
All right, you get there and you see it. It is a classic breach, but it's a classic, like, play, you know, over the top kind of that, like, movie scene kind of bomb. They really played it up to show, like, the danger and everything, and something like it, you're looking at this thing like, what kind of messed up, disgusting bomb is this? Like, this looks like something a 1990s show would have. And though it is active and it has a lot of C4, and it is dangerous, as you run over, you start going to work, you start going through it, finding all the stuff you need to do to deactivate it. It's ticking down. It's taken quite a bit of time. It's at like a minute left, and you're about to deactivate it. You're not really panicking right now. Like, you got a minute left. You got a lot of time. You know, this bomb is simple as hell. Like, it literally is cut the red wire. Like, it's... it's so, like, you just had to find the right red wire. And as you go to click it, the circle beneath you appears. A flash of white light. And you are, like, slowly evaporated away and disappear. With a minute left,
oh, no.
An active bomb still.
Oh, no. Well, I think that Air Force base might be gone.
And now we move down to Yoshi. All right, Matt, your turn.
All right, so Yoshi is kind of propping his bike up against the side of a sidewalk. He's got his cell phone out. He's wearing like a black hoodie with like a built-in face mask, black cargo pants, and he's sending a text message. Yeah, I'm heading there right now, and then as soon as I'm done, I'm gonna go get lunch and I'll be back at the office. I'll see you then. And he puts his phone on like a little like holder on his bike, and he puts in an earbud, and Rage Against the Machine starts blasting as he starts taking off through the streets of New York City on this. It's basically like a higher-end mountain bike or like a dirt bike. And he's like cutting through construction sites. He's weaving in and out of traffic. At one point, he actually like wheelies up onto the back of like a Tesla and over the top of it and down through the streets as he's making his way to this high-rise building.
Man pokes his head out. Do you know how much this thing costs, you stupid kid?
He just flips him off as he's going. Like,
as
not,
you're doing
not
this, a message pops up as a response. Please don't do anything dumb. The target's rather dangerous.
Yeah, he just ignores that and he just keeps going until he gets like to this high-rise like office building. He parks his bike out front, puts a U-bolt on it so that it can't get stolen, and he like grabs his messenger bag from the side of it, and he just walks into this building and heads straight to the elevator like he owns the place. There's no question.
A couple other businessmen are just kind of going about their day. You pass by one just kind of waves her hand at you.
And he just kind of nods as he's walking by.
Okay. Yeah, you make it up to the top, to the floor you're aiming for.
So he gets out of the elevator and he walks up to the reception desk and he's like, I have a delivery for Mr. I don't know, whoever is the highest ranking person in this office. I've got. And he like opens up his messenger
bag.
That
would
bag
be Mr. Martin. Yes,
Martin, right here. And he pulls up like a piece of paper that's got Anthony Martin written on the front of it. He's like, I have a delivery that I need to give to him.
I can take it for you if you'd like. I'm his secretary.
Unfortunately, it's really, really sensitive. I have to have him personally sign off and verify that he's received it.
Oh, well, okay. That's actually a rather normal thing. I've been told to just kind of let those messages, she does a little air quotes, through. So, second door down the hall.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And he just kind of smiles and finger guns at her. And
she nods, heads uncomfortably. Yeah. Like,
and he goes and heads into the office, or heads up to the office, and he, like, policeman knocks on the door.
Anthony Martin opens the door. He's this rather broad-chested, well-groomed gentleman, definitely in his like late 40s, early 50s. What do you want, kid?
He very nonchalantly pats the folder like onto this guy's chest, like forcing him to grab it.
Hey,
pulls out a phone, takes a picture, and smiles, and he goes,
"Who are
you, Mr. Martin? Served."
What do you mean? He opens it up and starts reading it. Do you leave?
I'm like turning around and walking away, but I've got my phone out and I'm recording.
He opens it up and he's
red as he's.
Dude, what? Ma, fuck! Who the fuck do they think I am? And just yelling profanities and.
In the merry month of June, brought me home. I started to let the girls a tune nearly and broke. He's skipping out of the office.
You can hear from a distance, you hear him calling for his security to apprehend you. And as you see coming out of the elevator, a bunch of people wearing black suits and coming out of the stairs, you seem cornered. And then you're like thinking about how to get out of here, and suddenly a bright light in this like weird, like almost video game style arcane circle below you erupts, and a flash of light and boom, you're gone. Best way to get out of that ever.
Yeah.
But now we move down to Nora.
Okay. Nora is taking her gloves off and washing her hands because her palms have gotten sweaty throughout her work day, and it's driving her nuts. And she spent the morning taking care of a handful of cats that a TNR group brought in, neutering them, looking them over for any other physical ailments that they might have, and doing what she can to help them, and then nicking their ears before returning them to the group, who will take them back to where they trap them and releasing them back to their colonies.
Very well.
And she's going to grab some new gloves and put them back on and go outside. She is in a town on the coast of Oregon, and usually around this time, some of the fishermen will bring in any hurt or like trapped animals that they've found throughout their day for her to care for, and then she will bring them back to the ocean and release them at the end of her shift.
One of the fishermen they're loading over like this cart with a with what looks to be a rather large like tangle of like garbage, and like you could see inside is a rather large crab. Like it's a big boy, but it is very tangled up in this garbage and like everything. Like it has just kind of been trapped in the center of this garbage pile. Hey, Miss Nora. We on our way back we discovered a pile of trash, and we were just gonna fish it out and clean it up, but then we saw this poor boy in there.
Like, oh, poor thing.
Yeah, well, we brought it to you, so thanks again, Nora, for taking care of things. As they turn and leave.
Of course. And I will...
Crab is just like...
put the crab, like, like, on a cart and bring it into, like, an operating room, but smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just going to grab some, like, fine metal tools and start cutting and prying away all the wire crab and garbage.
Is,
and
every whatnot. Time it gets a free moment, tries to nip at you. But eventually you do get the crab out, and through this process, the crab has kind of calmed down and is now just, like, not really attacking you. It almost seems pacified. And once it's free, it kind of just, like, stands up, kind of collapses a little bit, but stands eventually back up, kind of moves around and looks up at you, pinches, and
I'm going to pick it up and carry it to a saltwater tank that I have nearby to give it a chance to sit in there and rest.
There are a couple other people in the staff that are here, and they're just kind of whispering, why, after a little bit, do none of the animals seem to want to hurt her? I try picking up a crab like that, and my finger's gone. I have to ban its claws, or I'm gone. And then yesterday, she helped tend to a bear that was found, and after a little bit, the bear just listened to her. I don't understand that. And they're like, well, I don't know, maybe she's Dr. Doolittle's daughter. And like, that's a movie person, you know that, right? I know, it was a joke. And as you are moving around, suddenly, as you step out of the room to go put it in the saltwater tank, the crab is looking up at you, and then a massive circle appears below you. Something your character's probably read or seen in movies, but this big, magical circle appears beneath you, and a flash of white light, and boom, you're gone. The only thing still in your hand is the crab. But the crab now is rather large and blue. Could you show the crab?
Yeah.
Awesome.
There's the crab. No, don't blur.
Don't blur. You pull it back a little bit. The camera's trying to focus. There we go.
Eat your boba.
All of you guys, cram. The light eventually fades, and you find yourselves in a vast empty space as if you're standing on top of clouds. The sky above you is bright blue, where stars can still be seen through the blue, as if you're just on the edge of the atmosphere. The sun is moving at the same time you can see the moon off to the distance. And you see each other, all of you strangers, standing in this plane of existence.
And ah!
What?
By the way, Ashton, you're still holding the pizza.
Oh, yeah. I dropped the pizza. Oh, shit.
The pizza starts falling through the clouds. It starts going up real quick. Whoop. Yep.
Am I in heaven? Am I in hell?
How do we get back? Because there's a bomb about to go off.
You're talking fucking dragon.
Wait, does... Yeah,
what? Yes, that is...
What is that actually happening?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, you now notice that you are draconic. You have scales. You have horns.
Why is my skin purple?
You are purple, and then you look over and you see this...
What
you
in see the Claire, name of D&D woman, is this bullshit?
This woman has wings, and then off to the other side, there's a demon with horns.
Who is hugging a crab and looking kind of scary.
Who's hugging a rather large blue crab.
What the Pat, fuck kind of...
That's crab? A big fucking crab.
I want to feel Yo, for she's like gonna look at all my this, Do I feel
and he's
anything?
Gonna like look yeah, at phone. The one other human and be driven. Like, what the fuck oh, just shit. Happened?
I pull out my phone, does it work?
No, it says no service.
Come on, damn thing. Come on. And I'm like tapping it and like hitting it a little bit.
A voice
fucking children.
Appears surrounding you. And then as he continues talking, it almost pulls into a single area and it draws your attention to one of this random direction. And standing in it is a young looking man with white hair, golden array around his head, almost like a halo, in very lavish robes and golden attire. Well, welcome, heroes. I understand this is rather jarring.
God, is that you?
I'm a dragon.
Yes.
Did we die?
Technically a kobold. And no. Thankfully, no. This isn't a reincarnation by death.
It's just a dream, okay? I get.
No, but
when do I wake up?
Well,
I hope it's not a dream. There's a bomb about to go off.
Wow, you are all very talkative. I'm Tsukiyomi, and yes, Ashton, I am God. Well, a God. Well, I'm a ruling God. I'm like a lower tier God, but my name is Tsukiyomi. Yes, to those of you who might know the lore of your Japanese culture, I am the God of the Moon, but I am so much more than that. I am your protectors, your guide. I keep your world functioning right within the life of death and rebirth. But I had to break a few rules. I have summoned you. You are in the realm of the gods. A plane where we speak to each other.
I'm
why
sorry, but
are we here?
Why are we here? Yes, please.
He kind of rubs the back of his neck.
Can we go back?
In time, yes, there is rules to the summoning. So you're here because each and every one of you have a spark of power within your soul. You were born for something greater than your world could provide. I'm sorry to say that your world doesn't have magic or any extraordinary aspects to it. It's a rather bland world, and so your gifts won't bloom, but now they will. And I've summoned you here because I need heroes. The world nearest you is being consumed by darkness. Something from the outer reaches is consuming worlds and leaving them devoid of life. And if nothing is done, it will fall and your world will be next. And I'm sorry, but your world has no ability to defend against such a thing. your weapons, even your weapons of mass destruction, your nuclear weapons will do nothing.
And but
so, like, what are we supposed to do?
And randos can.
You see, you are all strangers. I mean, he's not wrong. You're all strangers to yourself, but you're not strangers to me. I've seen each one of you go about your lives, and all of your lives, through every bit of every cycle of rebirth you've had, and you have constantly, each time, been reborn with that same spark. And so I've watched you. And
this is such a vivid dream, I whisper.
You're right, it really is.
To me, to you all, you're strangers, but you're not randos. You are born to be heroes. And it's almost as if fate, which is a power even I must follow, has given you the gifts so that you could go and protect both of these worlds. And your gifts will make you even stronger than anyone in this world, even with their magic. Just because you are from another world, you will have something that they don't. You have dedication, determination, will, power. And with that seed of divine gift, that power within you, in this world it will bloom into something greater than any of you have ever even wished. I'm sure you have, I believe you call it shows, of similar situations. And, well, that's the best I can say is that's what you're in. I believe the term is isekai'd.
As soon as you say that, Yoshi's just like, God fucking damn it.
Wait, yeah.
Are you sure this is real? Because that's pretty awesome if it is.
Well, I'm, as your protector and divine guide, I assure you it's real.
I'm sorry, but in the world that we just left, because once again, there's a bomb about to go off.
So time has moved slower for your world than here, and it will still move slower than that than in that world. So think here in this divine realm, an hour here is a second. No, an eighth of a second in your world. Yes, Ashen.
Ashen raises his hand. I'm sorry, God, but
Tsukiyomi.
Okay, so yeah. Like, I have a pizza delivery, and I only had a couple minutes left. Can you just send me back home? I don't mean to be disrespectful, but
the summoning won't.
I can't fight. I can't do nothing like that. Like, what do you mean it won't let you?
Well, first of all, Ashton, I'm sorry to say this, but yes, you do know how to fight. Creates a weapon, a sword, a bastard sword, and then hands it to you. And as you touch it, every movement, every tactic, everything suddenly just instantly, like you, the moment you touched it, you knew how to use it perfectly.
Firmly grasp it with two hands.
Like you've been training in this sword for 80 years. You know this weapon inside and out. And then he hands you a shield. And you now you know everything about this shield. You know how to use this shield. You know every single thing there is to do with the shield. Your mastery is that of a knight. You are weapons. You are strategy. You are power in every facet of a physical form. You are a knight, Ashton. And every one of you have powers like this. Clara, you are a divine healer. I know in your worlds you healed with words, and the time before that you were a plague doctor, and the time before that you were a shaman, and the time before that. But now you actually can magically bestow a blessing onto others to heal them. And also you can fly.
Like magic.
Yes, as you, like, spark it, suddenly a bright white light, a golden white light appears in your hand.
You guys see this?
And now you, as this light appears, it's almost like you know that this magic, how to bend this magic, how to warp this magic, and how to gift this magic. So you know all of what you can do with this. Some of it may be on your reach still, but this magic is malleable. It listens to you.
This is so cool.
And your wings are, they basically burst outward as they begin to flap. You kind of lift yourself off the ground.
I can
you
fly.
Are a healer, Clara. And you are also an Astralis. You, when I brought you above the world that I summoned you to try to save, your soul connected with the closest thing that it represented in this world. So you are a celestial. Almost think of it like the grandchildren to the divine beings.
Okay.
Nora, that crab that you have with you has now been gifted powers thanks to you. You also manipulate magic, but you can summon upon magical beasts. As that crab looks over to you and nods its crab head like it can understand English.
I'm going to pat it on and say, that makes sense. I don't know how to fight. I've never fought anyone in my life.
My only but worry is, why did you become brave. A demon? Perhaps there's dark urges? Maybe a willingness to fight has called the demon's form to you. They are rather charismatic, so mayhap that, but still, you will be valuable. You are friend to all beast. Though harming them you might have to do, you can tame them. Very few in this world can tame anything, but you, it will come easy. And Yoshi, though your form has not changed, you are still human like Ashton. I am sure that your antics in this life that you've had will play greatly to your role here, and your life before that as an assassin, and your life before that as a mercenary, and your life before that as a soldier will come to play here. You, as he summons forth a weapon to you and poison, you seem to remember how to covertly infiltrate, how to covertly end a life, and where it's almost as if you've trained for years in how to stealthily kill.
He just looks at this blade for a second, and he just kind of scoffs and shakes his head. He just like, if my old man could see me now.
Rain. No matter what,
she
I cannot.
Tries to raise an eyebrow.
Yes, you are a kobold. Your soul is that connected to the strength, ingenuity, and power of the kobolds. Your knowledge of weaponry goes back many lifetimes for you. As your lifetime as Da Vinci, down to the very moment that you created the atom bomb.
I'm sorry, who was I?
Well, you were both Da Vinci, and then you also
Oppenheimer.
Were...
Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I mean,
okay.
You know,
is there any chance I could have taken a shot at Margaret Thatcher in a past life?
Say again, Yoshi.
Yoshi's just, like, hearing that, he's like, is there any chance I was one of the people that took a shot at Margaret Thatcher in a past life?
Sadly to say, no, you're the one that assassinated that person.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did he wind up killing JFK in life?
No, but he did kill Lincoln.
You're kind of a dick for that.
Are you fucking shitting me?
We all just look at him.
he's looking at him too. He's like, wait, what the fuck?
Well, it wasn't your proudest moment in that lifetime, but let's just say life gave you very shit sticks. But you made a name for yourself. But yes, Rain.
I created the atom bomb?
Yes, and you have the power, the knowledge, the forming to create many things in this new world. This world is far behind yours. It does not rely on technology. It doesn't rely on ingenuity. It doesn't rely on creation. They still live a very medieval life.
Fix that.
And so your knowledge, your ability to create and manipulate things is going to be extremely valuable here. And you're going to be able to save a lot of people. You're going to be able to play with, as he smirks, a lot of bombs. Just please don't create the nuclear warhead here. That was kind of a bad moment in my in our world. So.
Understood.
I just look at her.
Who was I in my past life?
Well, you were many people. Alexander the Great. Genghis Khan. You were a valuable leader. You were also several shadow leaders. The power behind King Richard was you. The power behind the Crusades was you.
Wait.
The power
behind... He was the Catholic Church?
He was the voice behind the Catholic Church. Yes, he was.
Was he the Pope?
No, the Pope listened to him. No one in your world knows of this person. But you think that a single man thought of all of this? No, it was the decades of planning through a very under the table organization in which he led. I believe you called it the Illuminati.
Assassin's Creed.
Oh.
But anyways, you were also the spark that led the Americans to take their independence, the Revolutionary War. You are a leader. Though many of your lives preferred to do it from the shadows, I would say your current life has definitely chosen to do it more upfront.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't call it leading. I just have a bunch of followers, but you know.
I believe your OnlyFans is what you call it. Has sparked an entire cult-like following.
Tell them about my OnlyFans.
Wait.
Anyways, your power.
Alexander the Great has an
OnlyFans.
Apparently,
his reincarnation has an OnlyFans. But your power to lead and to encourage and to support and to bolster the powers and to hinder the beliefs and morale of your enemies is without a doubt something that will grow more and more powerful, especially with your access to magic and now that your phone has become magical in itself.
Yeah, by the way, why isn't it working?
It won't work in the traditional sense any longer. There are no satellites, no cell service, no landlines, no internet. It's functioning off of the magic.
Broke the poor baby.
You're going to be able
to... You just see him kind of like... My head just drops and I kind of like look at my phone and I'm kind of... You see like a tear drip from my eye.
You're going to
I feel like it's one of those anime moments where they're on the ground kneeling and the shadows are coming over.
There's just like the sadness. Your phone will be able to summon things from distant places. You're going to be able to use a search function much as like I believe it's called Google. You're going to be able to search for things in the immediate area. There's several things your device can do.
And I heard like a few words he said, but I'm still like crying a little bit.
He kind of like waves. I'm sure you'll be able to put it to use. But all of
I didn't realize Alexander the Great would be so attached to his phone.
Well,
I didn't realize that Alexander the Great would have an OnlyFans.
I've never really looked into Ruben's OnlyFans. I'm not really sure what OnlyFans is, but
sure, yeah, I'd say the same thing.
I see, that's the thing is I don't have to pay for your guys' content. I just see everything. So, anyways, this world needs heroes. Yes, Nora.
Just wondering, who was I before?
Well, you're. Names weren't really known, much like Claire's, but your roles in time, and much like Ashton's, your roles in time as mostly only ever befallen into lore, history, folklore, myth, and legends, such as the scene as goddess Artio, such as many things. There are some of you who were famous people, and some of you who were not. That doesn't mean that you didn't do amazing things. One of your past lives was a very powerful druidic force. somebody that people listen to in the wilds, a Viking shaman, a Celtic druid. Animals have always flocked to you. There were whispers of a lord known as, a powerful being known as the Morrigan, and some of those could lead, those stories could lead from you, and some of them also could lead from Clara. But your powers are unmatched in many of your lands and your lives, and your powers will still be unmatched when it comes to how strong you can become in this new world. But it needs heroes. It needs somebody to save it. And you will go from nobodies to somebodies. You'll grow powerful. You'll grow well-known, famous. These people need more protection from more than just the darkness that is ripping them apart and consuming them. They need help. My sister, Crystallia, has gone missing. So they have no protector. They have no one to guide them. I have to look after both worlds, but I can't do it alone. And so I called forth the people I deemed as heroes in my world that I controlled to help me here. Will you please help me? And when it is all over, with the help of my sister, I'll be able to send you back. But on my own, I can't do that.
I'm kind of late on my rent, so the faster we get this done, the... never mind. Yes, God, we'll help you save yourself.
Thank you.
I guess I can help.
Be happy to help.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really seem like we have much of a choice there, but...
What happens if we say no? I mean,
well, Ashton, if you said no, I guess you could try to live your life in this new land without helping, without... But it would only last until everything fell to ruin.
Yeah, no, of course we'll help.
I appreciate it.
Question. What... Once we, like, complete this, save this world or whatever, do we get sent back to the exact time that we were taken out? Or, like...
Sadly, that is very dependent on... See, I've never summoned anyone before. This is kind of a forbidden thing to do. But if I had the help of my sister, we could possibly try to send you back. Time moves slowly in your world compared to their... In that world compared to yours, so... What I'm saying is time that passes there isn't the exact same time that passes in your world. Your world's not very much will pass. A few years there might, like, say 6 years there might be 2 years in your world. But I could try.
I really hope one of my students figured out which red cord to cut.
If the time...
Is it always the red wire?
It's not always the red wire. Sometimes there are other things that need to be done to defuse a bomb. But this one was a very simple one that all you had to do was cut the red wire. It just had to be the right red wire.
Where were you? What? Because I was talking to somebody who was talking about planting a bomb at this cafe, and I got healed.
I'm a teacher.
Yeah. You were very different.
Ish.
Okay. Yeah.
You guys just deal with bombs on your normal? That's cool.
I'm a
Navy EOD technician, so yes, I do deal with bombs on an almost daily basis.
I work at Pizza Hut. What was my first day? I'm gonna get fired. God, I'm gonna get fired if you don't bring me back in time.
I can hold on to that for you until you get teleported back. No. Okay.
Can someone take over my Instagram or whatever while I'm gone?
With the level of cult following you have, I'm sure someone will.
Maybe Charles will do it.
He is a rather sad individual. Where you got all the luck in life, he got none of the luck in life. So your luck will become his, hopefully. Anyways, I will be granting you what I can do. So I will grant you my blessing as your guide. And this won't last forever, but it will draw good events to you. It'll draw allies to you, and it will protect you from most very bad things. The greater enemies will not notice you for some time until you make yourself more noticed. But it will eventually fade, and more harsh things will happen. The world won't be all roses forever. So gather the allies, build your fame, build your power. Remember, this world is magical. A lot of things is possible. Learn everything you can about this world. And hopefully you don't fail. Your world and this world's only hope. Or we're all doomed.
We got this guy. Okay. Do we like put our hands in the middle, like go team or something? No. It's all right.
It's up to We're gonna Power Rangers this shit.
No, it was just a thought, okay?
She straight up puts a hand out. If we're gonna Power Rangers this shit, let's do it.
All right, I'm gonna put my hand in the middle.
Oh, we actually in it.
She just dies and shakes his head and puts his hand in the middle.
Yes.
He's like, as long as I don't get transformed into a fucking magical girl, we're good.
Nora, do you put your hand in?
Yeah.
Okay. As you all put your hands in, the crab kind of reaches out, puts his claw in, and on top of the claw's hand is Tsukiyomi's hand. And when Tsukiyomi's hand goes in, you all glow with a bright light, and whoa, you are thrust down. And as you are falling, everything kind of starts to glow and change as you are falling from the sky, a vast, amazing world filled with high peak mountains, grasslands, trees, beautiful birds flying throughout the air, large, huge birds. And then off in the distance, you see this crystalline tower, but with almost like this dark, dead landscape around it, etching inch by inch, crawling out. But you land, and off in the distance, as you guys all land near a road, you can hear what sounds like a commotion down the road. A young boy is calling, is trying to talk his way out of a situation where you can hear these grown adult men yelling at him to give all of his goods or he will lose his life. Each of you find a weapon in your hands. This is your first moment to etch that hero into your souls.
And with that, I should have flown.
And with that, we'll end this episode. Thank you all for watching True Hero, our new show that's coming out. Thank you to all the players that have come here. Thank you to the amazing creators of Gates of Crystallia. And make sure that you check out everything that they have to offer. Down below is their links, I believe. Yeah, so thank you for watching. Like, subscribe. I'll see you all later. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, guys.